question is, what is more powerful, our destiny, our fate, or our luck?
Our destiny, our fate, our luck. The question is not what's more powerful, the question is who creates this. Mm-hmm. It is when I tend to go feel that things are not in my control, and when I'm not able to handle my situations and my challenges properly, I need someone to blame for what I'm going through, and more important, for the pain that I'm going through. It's less about outside, but it's the pain that I'm going through. So I normally blame situations, I blame people, and then I say, my luck. Meri kismat kharab. You see? So when I say this, that this is bad luck, or this is my fate, I basically give up the responsibility of having to do anything about it. It's my luck. My fault? Not my fault at all. You know? So this saves me from doing a little hard work about changing the way things are. And this saves me from the hard work of getting rid of my pain. I just tell myself, living in pain is your destiny. And then I continue to live in pain. But when I understand that I create my destiny because I create my thought, and then I understand that the pain that I'm creating is being created by me, then I have to do a little effort, a little hard work of changing those quality of thoughts. It is very easy to say, you are responsible for my pain. You see, it makes me feel good when I can blame someone else for the pain, because then I say, you change. Because when you change, I will be happy. And when we look at the list, we have a whole list of how many people need to change so that I can be happy. But how many of us have the courage to say that I am responsible for my pain? Are we ready to say, I am responsible for my pain? Because the minute I say, I am responsible for my pain, then the next sentence would be, then I have to do something about it. And we don't want to, so we say, you do everything about it. So creating this destiny starts from my thoughts. And so no dependency on anything and anyone outside. And when we get no one to blame, we blame him. He is responsible for all the mess in my life. Huh? So always someone to blame. So I choose, I create, and that's why whatever I am in today, whatever position I am in today, it's only because of the energy that I have sent out into the world. So if I am not liking what is coming back, I don't have to change what is coming back. I just have to change what is going out. What is coming back will automatically change.
The other guy asked this question, do good souls, holy souls exist in today's world?
If today I experience a moment of love, that's a very pure elevated thought. If there comes a moment I see a child who needs help and I experience compassion in my heart, that's a very noble thought. And so the essential nature of the human being is of goodness. Do you believe that? Okay. So that's what we are. There is goodness, but it's become covered with a lot of dust. And so the whole purpose of meditation is clearing out that dust. But when we connect with that goodness which is inside ourselves, that's when we're able to have those pure, noble thoughts. So it's not a theory that can noble thoughts exist. It's a reality which we've all experienced from time to time. But what we would like to do is to not just make it an occasional experience, but to make it a daily experience, to make our life filled with noble thoughts and good feelings and good wishes, so that then this becomes a return to that which is our original state of humanity, our essential humanity.
Okay, we move on to the next question, which is very interesting. We all argue with each other at some point. Like the other day, me and my sister argued over what to buy for our dad on Father's Day. Although we managed to solve that problem by just asking him what he wanted, but that was a small issue. How do we cope with close relatives who are expressing anger toward us?
How do we cope up with close relatives who are expressing anger towards us? Okay. So one choice was to get angry, like you asked, and the other one is to remain stable. But what do I do in order to remain stable? I've been experimenting this, that yes, each one of us, when we come into relationships, there are differences of opinion. Difference of opinion is there and will always be there. And do you think it should be there? Should there be a difference of opinion? Should there be, or should we all start thinking the same way? Imagine one morning, the husband and the wife get up, same thoughts, same words, same actions. Interesting? No conflict at all, same thinking. Interesting? How long will we be able to live like that? It's boring. The world is so beautiful, our relationships are so interesting, because we are all different. If we all become identical, it will be boring. But what we are trying to do the whole day is trying to make other people like us. You should think like me. Why? Because the way I think is right. That's the difference of opinion. Now both these sisters were having a problem because each one thought that what they had chosen was right.
Totally perfect.
And there is no doubt about it that we are right. But then, since we are always right, therefore, the opposite person is also always right. Right? It's just that we started thinking that I am always right, and therefore, the other one is always wrong, because we started living with this belief system that always one will be right and the other one will be wrong, and that's why there were these conflicts and clashes, and we were not able to understand each other. Just try out one day tomorrow that I am right, but also you are right. Now what will happen with that is that the flow of energy between two people will be very healthy, especially with parents and children. Parents continuously are giving this energy to the children, you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong. Getting up late in the morning, wrong. Watching the television, wrong. Not studying, wrong. Eating pizza, wrong. Everything that you do is wrong. Ask the child. The child feels everything that he is doing is right. That doesn't mean, okay, keep watching television the whole day, or don't eat healthy food. It just means trying to understand that the other person has a perspective. Because if I keep sending the child or the opposite person this energy, you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong, very soon what energy will flow from the other side? You are wrong. And then here are these two people trying to solve an issue, but who have already decided that the other side is wrong. No dialogue, no discussion, nothing. But when two people talk to each other with this understanding that both of us are right, difference of opinion, but both's opinion is right from where they are sitting. From where you are sitting, the flower vase looks different to you, but from where we are sitting, it looks different. We can argue about it for years. Which one of us is right? And actually, just one thought, that side it's different and this side it's different. Any conflict after that? Will there be any conflict after that? And that's understanding. You know what we say, we can't understand each other? We understand very well, but what we can't understand is that you are also right. And then there is no question of getting angry. Anger always will come when I say, you are wrong, please listen to me because I am right. and then there is that conflict. So when we are able to have this smooth flow of energy, you may be saying the worst thing to me, something I just don't like, but if I'm able to understand you have a reason for saying and doing that, then I'm able to sit and talk to you about it without getting hurt and without getting angry, and then it's easy to solve all our issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on. How can we let go of past events and focus on the present?
It's again my choice. Mm-hmm. Do I want to continue to live in the past? Some things happened and it's gone and it's done, but I keep it alive by keeping repeating it in my own mind.
Yeah, because sometimes it's very difficult to let go of it.
Usually it's difficult, not just sometimes, but it's actually again the question of not understanding what's happening. And what I'm doing is, if I allow those past thoughts, those past scenes to keep coming back to me, I'm allowing those feelings that were associated with that to also keep coming back. There's a very interesting research that's happening at the present moment, and that's the whole subject of positive emotions. And usually what's happened in the last 100 years or so, there's been a lot of research and exposure to the whole subject of negative emotions. And negative emotions are usually kept alive by thinking of the past, and not even the beautiful things I've been through in the past, but the negative things I've been through in the past. If you look back over your life, how many beautiful things have happened? Well, how come I don't keep those memories? I hold on to the negative things that have happened. Somebody said a word and they said it and it's gone. It's out there in the ether. But I held on to it and I kept repeating it. And so negative emotions come very strongly like a sledgehammer. And so this is why they have such an impact, but also this is why it's been the subject of research. Positive emotions, they say, come fleetingly and are very subtle and are very difficult to measure, which is our experience generally, right? But they found that the one way to be able to develop positive emotions and feelings, and it's the only way actually, is meditation. Why? Say for example, I can have a piece of chocolate and feel good about it. But if I keep having more and more and more, not only will I feel not very happy about it, but I'll actually begin to feel very uncomfortable with it. So whatever it is that's giving me happiness on a temporary basis and giving me a positive feeling, it'll come and it'll go. But on an inner level, creating that happiness is something I can learn to do, and I can hold it and I can keep it. And so I have the understanding of what do past memories bring to me if I'm holding on to negative memories, and how are they interfering in the things I'd like to do today. It's a huge energy that's being wasted. It's depriving me of the possibility of doing what it is I would like to do at this point. You know how we say that, well, I have so many inspirations and how come none of it happens? Well, they come for a moment and then they disappear because I'm not giving it that energy to actually apply it in my practical life and make it work for me. And so letting go of the past so that I can focus my energy now is something which is valuable for me to give me happiness today, but also to be able to shape my life in the way I would like for the future. Mm-hmm. So knowledge, understanding, spirituality, this is where spirituality and practical life absolutely come together.
Although, before we go to meditation session once again, just two more questions. Even though we are in 21st century where we talk about empowering women, all of us know that discrimination against women do exist. And can we raise our voice against it in a positive way? And what challenges do the Brahma Kumaris faces as an organization run by women?
If I hadn't come to spirituality way back in the 60s, I would have become a feminist. But I was very lucky, because when I came to spirituality, I realized that female is a role. The eternal being that I am is the soul. And yes, within this female role, and for a few thousand years, it's been a patriarchal society. That's a reality, east, west, north and south. And perceptions, attitudes beginning to change this much. Long, long way to go still. That's also a fact. But if I change my own awareness and come to the realization of who I am, man or woman, I'm actually a soul. And in that awareness, there are no limits that anybody else can impose on me. The only limit that can be imposed is what I put on myself. And so when I come back to my own inner dignity of who I truly am, there are no barriers. That is a fact. And yes, when the Brahma Kumaris started in 1937, the founder, Brahma Baba, decided that in order to redress the balance of injustice in the world, women had to be given the opportunity of being teachers and leaders. But also because he could see that the quality of women in terms of care and nurture and sustenance was such an important quality for spirituality, he gave that role to women. And it was very much challenged, not just at that time in the 30s, but then through the 50s and 60s and later on also. But today I think there's a recognition that the feminine principle is needed in the world. I'm not talking about feminism now, but the feminine principle, which means things like compassion and care and love. The world has become very cold-hearted, and that needs to be redressed. And the feminine qualities of compassion and care are now being recognized. And you have a person, for example, like Mother Teresa, and she has the power of the man, but she also has the compassion of the feminine. You have a person like Mahatma Gandhi, and again, he has the ability to act, but he also had the ability for gentleness and non-violence. So, man or woman, what I can do, and it happens when you go inside and begin to know how to develop your own inner being, is to be able to balance these masculine, feminine qualities, which both are needed, but we've neglected to understand.
Now I would like to request you to take us to a session of meditation, please.
Just sit comfortably, relaxed, but alert, so that we can go on a journey together. The body sits quietly, and for a short time, I decide to go on an inner journey. The world out there, and even my physical body, will stay quiet for a moment. And I go inwards, I go deeper and deeper beneath all the waves of thoughts that are coming from so many different directions. And as I go deep inside my own inner being, I come to that sacred space, which is my own, that no one can touch and no one can enter. I step inside. I discover the peace within me. Forgotten that peace belongs to me, I was looking for it outside. And now I've realized it is within. I connect with my own inner treasure. And I stay enjoying this state of peace. And in this awareness of peace, my mind, my heart are open. And I can feel the divine presence of the Supreme Mother and Father, the being of light. In my busyness, I forgot my peace, myself, and my parent. And now, I begin to connect with this being of light. And I savor the pure love that pours forth. The being of light is a being of love. And a being of truth. And in the presence of the divine, I realize I had moved so far away from my own inner truth and the being of truth. But now motivated to come back to reality, to come back to truth. I recognize its importance. It's the pillar of human life, of civilization, of the world. And in this awareness of the Supreme, in the presence of eternal truth, I begin to see the illusion, the falsehood that had trapped me. And I allow God's light to touch my inner world and awaken the truth within my own self. And this awareness gives me strength, fills me with power, but also with great joy. I can let go of that which is artificial and enjoy the truth. The reality again. In this awareness of the light of love and the light of truth, I come back to the awareness of this room and the things that need to happen here. But I hold this light within myself, so that this light guides my thoughts, my words, and my actions. Om Shanti.
I would like to thank you for your timing. I would like to thank you from whole of Glasgow, from bottom of my heart, so that you take time out for Glasgow. I thank you so much for awakening us. I would like to thank you all our audience who take time out. Thank you very much for your invaluable time.
I felt very honored to be here. It was really nice to share with all these souls.
And just thought it was really pleasant and a great experience seeing the whole gathering of people, nice vibrations.
Inspired again. Mm-hmm. You know, just take out your love for the world and just be kind and be good to everyone that you meet. That's what it's about in life to me.
The whole process of positive thinking, I think it's the best way to channelize our thoughts.
This is the only group which does what they say, actually. Mm-hmm.
It was so good. It changed me a lot.
I am much more aware of my thoughts now, and I know I can control my thoughts.